It's Saturday morning. It's 10 o'clock. This is the Van Wee Financial Hour. I'm Steve Van Wee.
And I'm Adam Van Wee.
And we are here. Oh, you sound good today.
My mic's on for once.
Yeah, mic's been giving us a little trouble. Very deep and resonant today. Sounds like a grown-up. Of course, it kind of is. Anyway, I digress, as so often is the case. We're here live, as I say, on this absolutely glorious, kind of almost warm for the season, perfect Saturday morning. And it just doesn't get much better than this. Hopefully, that will carry over for 36 hours or so, because there's a football game in the area that will really be interesting for those of us who are also closet Packer fans. So it should be a goodie. I can't wait. I hope we can hold our own against them. Anyway, welcome to all the regulars. You know how much we appreciate you being here. We're kind of closing up year 10 or 9? Where are we?
This is the end of year 9.
End of 9.
I think so.
Whatever. It's a way bigger number than we normally just think about.
I can't even.
We'll have that figured out by February 1st, because that's when our fiscal year starts, so to speak. But anyway, if you're new to the show, stick around if you can for the whole hour, and you will learn something along the way somehow. And we will sit here for the next hour, and we'll talk about the things we want to talk about. And most of them will have a pretty direct impact on money. And since everybody's kind of interested in that concept, especially these days, then if you want to talk about whatever you want to talk about, just pick up the phone, dial 904-222-8255, and we'll either change topics or you can embellish the one that we're already talking about. So you are in control, but you have to initiate it. It's just that easy. So those of you who carried over from Angela Walker know that the market was not that great this week, but we did have an increase in the NASDAQ, so it was far from a total loss.
Yeah, it really wasn't that bad.
No, and it was due.
Yeah, it was. We've seen nothing but green on the screen recently, and that, as we know, is not sustainable. And we saw the market down a bit. The NASDAQ was up 0.2%. The S&P was down 1%, and the Dow was down 2.7%. From a technical perspective, all three still are in solid uptrends. There's really not much to worry about there. That slight pullback actually makes me feel a little bit better about it.
Mm-hmm.
Additionally, most of the selling seemed to be related to poor earnings reports, which I like to see. I don't like panic selling or panic buying or whatever it is. I like when things are logical, and this seemed like a very logical week. So far during the earnings season, 353 companies have reported, and 69% have beat on earnings, and 56% have beat on revenue. More companies have been lowering forward guidance than raising, but I'm thinking that has something to do with the uncertainty around the election cycle. So we'll see if that changes in a few weeks, if maybe it evens out or even goes the other way. Now that just having this unknown, big unknown right during the quarter, I could see why more companies would be lowering than raising.
I'd be erring on the side of caution myself.
No doubt about it. One of the big reports this week was from Tesla, where expectations were low, as electric vehicles have not exactly been getting the best press recently. However, their earnings report on Wednesday showed that the EV maker had a pretty darn good quarter. Their shares jumped 21.9% on Thursday and ended the week up 27%. They beat on earnings, but they also missed on revenue. So while they're making more money on every car they sell, they're selling less at a lower price. So car sales haven't exactly been lighting the world on fire, EVs in particular. But Tesla has managed a way to increase their profitability to the point where they're almost a $1 trillion company again. Mm-hmm. So pretty interesting.
I think the longer term outlook for the EVs has switched a little bit too, now that the utility industry has kind of taken the bull by the horns and say, we got to get this grid increased, whether it's small nukes or whatever.
So yeah.
AI was kind of crowding out the Tesla chargers. And it looks like now we're going to actually be able to increase the capacity. And, of course, that will be spurred on if the election goes one way a lot faster than if it goes the other way.
In my mind, EVs have a cap on their market penetration. They are going to, I don't think they're going to go away. I think that there's a certain segment of the population that will want one, and then there's a larger segment of the population that won't. And maybe that'll increase over time, the people that want one. But I don't think it's going to be without being forced by the government, as was the initial plan, where everyone was not happy about that. I think that if you let the consumers decide, you're going to see, 30% of people that want to drive an EV, and that's the market.
Look at the proliferation of golf carts.
Yeah, they're
everywhere. You go.
Everywhere.
You plug it in when you get home, you take it out, it doesn't make any noise. You never have to stop at a gas station. And it's, of course, nowhere near as safe as a Tesla. But I think the people who like the convenience of the electric vehicle understand that if they're the right people in the right place and they have the right use, that's good.
But yeah.
Should have a big old gas car next to it in the garage. So
tastes are definitely changing. Like, I never owned a hybrid. Now I won't buy anything but a hybrid.
Yeah.
It's kind of,
you sound like your mother.
It just makes sense. I mean, yep. Why would you not want to get 30 miles to the gallon?
When you discover what a real hybrid is and how it works, first off, you never get tired of the technology. Mine's over 14 years old, and it still makes me happy every time I start it. And you think about what it's doing. You know, it's using energy for this, and then it's replacing the energy when you slow down, that kind of thing. It is an absolute slice of brilliance that pays you back over and over and over. So that market is not going anywhere but up.
Nope. Election day is getting closer, if you hadn't noticed. The polls are packed. I have to warn you. I was there yesterday afternoon, and it took us – there was a line out the door at the Beaches Branch Library to get in, yeah. And that was around, 2:30 or 3.
Yeah, we went mid-morning yesterday at the Ponte Vedra Library, and we had a line that looked doable, so we got in it. And it wasn't bad at all. They process people in these places now.
It did it's go fantastic. Reasonably – No, it wasn't fast, but it definitely wasn't slow. It was moving the whole time.
No, and when we came out and looked at the line, it was way longer than when we went in.
Yeah, so people are excited to vote in this election on both sides, and I just recommend you get out there and do it. Do it early. Don't wait till voting day. You just never know what can happen, and kids get sick or weather events happen. Just get out there and get your vote banked.
Yeah, we were talking this morning about that whole process, and the people who are whining about what you can't put the voters out, you can't cause that much trouble. You know, they need an ID and stuff. It's just so crazy out there. Like I said, at least where we are, you walk in to give them a driver's license, you sign the thing, they look at your signature, give you a numbered ballot, you go over here and mash it, and then you put it in the machine and it counts it. And that whole process didn't take but a couple of minutes.
Yeah, it's pretty nice and very easy. And they have an option for a paper ballot if you don't want to do the electronic.
Yeah, we use
it. Yeah, so it's a really good process. Florida does it right.
All right, well, we got to pay a few bills. We'll take a short break and be right back. Don't go anywhere. This is the Van Wee Financial Hour. Welcome back to the Van Wee Financial Hour. I'm Steve Van Wee.
And I'm Adam Van Wee.
And as usual, we do have a trivia question brought to you by Paul Lloyd at First Coast Alarm. You can give Paul a call. Very poetic, 904-636-7888. We have been talking for the last 3 weeks or better about the change in the market for the second half of this year. The run-up in the first half of the year was based on the so-called Magnificent Seven, the really big stocks. And of course, the all-time leader during the run-up was NVIDIA, everybody's darling NVIDIA. And then something happened when Q3 started, and those stocks they became less important, and all the other ones started to participate, which makes us all very happy because we like the breadth of the market. Anyway, go back a little further. Since Joe Biden was elected president, you might think NVIDIA was the best performing stock in the S&P, but you would be wrong. How many stocks in the S&P, you don't have to name them, just how many outperformed NVIDIA from election day of 2000 to yesterday, basically? It's a whole number, obviously. That's it. All right, what else what are we looking for in the market next week?
I wanted to talk a little bit more about this week. Okay. Commodities had a strong week. We saw the price of oil jump almost 4%. The commodities basket was up over 2% on those results. And gold just continues to go up. It added another 0.8%. It is now up over 32% this year. Silver was flat this week, but it is now up more than 40% this year. When was the last time silver and gold outpaced the S&P 500? I don't remember.
I don't know. Was I out of diapers yet?
Excuse me. It's been a long time. International stocks also had a bit of a rough week, with the index falling more than 2.3%. European stocks were down over 2%. Asian stocks were down 1.6%. And Latin American stocks were down 0.3%. China continues to struggle with their post-stimulus slide. They are still up 23% this year, so not bad. But in recent weeks, that is down from a 47% gain when the stimulus was announced. So basically cut in half that huge run-up we saw when they announced the stimulus package. Rising interest rates have turned the bond market back down after enjoying its first positive performance in a few years. Most funds are still positive for the year, but not as positive as they were a few weeks ago when the rate cut was announced. TLT, which tracks 30-year treasuries, has had a rough year. Back in September, it had a positive gain of over 5%, but recently the 30-year bond yield has risen and the fund is now down more than 4%.
Shocking. Good morning, Phil.
Is that coming through? Something's weird. I don't know if you guys can hear that on the air or not. It doesn't sound like you can.
No, we're
maybe Phil could call back, or let's pause it, Dad.
Yeah.
Okay.
So, but for some reason, we're not getting Phil's call.
Hold on. Okay. Let me call back.
Oh, there he is. Okay, he's on now. No,
he's good. Did you hear anything I said or no?
Yeah, we got you now.
Okay. You're the best of the best. Don't change. I'm going to take an over 80-year-old shot at my expertise, which is not financial, everything else. I'm going to say 22. And you were right. Maybe a lot of you were in diapers last time that other thing happened, and I can't remember. And I used to have a photographic memory. But you guys are the guru of finance, and you're right about the two thumbs down. I had to go to a pension board, big pension board meeting, and just sit in on it, you know, because they always like my input and or output or questions. And you're right about that international. Woof, baby. I'm glad to do it.
Yeah, it was a rough
that pension didn't, yeah, they try to stay away from those things on those big pension $100 million. Plus accounts, you know. But I'm going to say 22 on your trivia question. I don't want to tie up the line, but you have to do me and the community a favor. Don't change. You guys are the best of the best. Thank you.
Thank you. We appreciate it. And you're too high, but people will love it.
Oh, wow. Yeah. I'm usually too low, so I guess I'm going to have a good day.
Yep, you cut that bracket
way down. Let me get off the air so someone else can call. And I hope you never split up your show, even though you both would do well. But as a team, you bring so much to the mix. And you know why you do it? Same reason Angela does it. Passion for what
exactly
you do. Professionalism. I'm out the pasture big time, but my health is better, so I'm able to call in.
Sound great.
Hopefully every Saturday.
Yep. Okay, good. We appreciate the call. Have a
Thanks,
great
Phil.
Thank you. Bye-bye. Yes.
Yeah, 22 is too high. So all of a sudden, the bracket is really, really cut back. So people should have a much better chance. So don't hesitate to call in. We haven't given enough of Paul's money away lately, have we?
We have had a streak of non-answers. So, mm-hmm. Yeah.
Right. I'm not going to make the questions any easier just to give his money away, though. So got to make you work out there. You're supposed to make us look good, but you're supposed to work hard to do it.
So back to bonds. I think there's a few people wondering why bond yields are going back up. Why are mortgage rates rising? Why are just across the board you saw the Fed cut and everything went down, mm-hmm. and now everything's going back up. It's driving the price of bond funds back down. It's making things more expensive to borrow money. Why is that happening? Well, I think there's a number of things. One, at the long end of the curve on the longer dated bonds, I think you're seeing the yield curve uninvert or will see it uninvert.
In other words, the long end rises, meaning long-term interest rates are getting higher.
Yep, and you probably are aware that the yield curve has been inverted because if you watch any business show, they have talked about it over the last few years. And it's never a good sign because it's always preceded a recession. But sometimes the yield curve will go back to normal and then the recession will come. And that, I mean, we could be looking at that. It doesn't feel like that's the case right now, but you just never know. The other thing that's happening is I think there's a lot of doubt about how far the Fed is going to cut and how soon. I think when they did the 50 basis point cut a month or so ago, the assumption was they would continue to cut at the subsequent meetings. Now, I'm not sure they will, and I think the market is unsure if they will. So you may have seen the bond market overreact a bit and drop rates in anticipation of further rate cuts, and now they're kind of doubting that, so rates are creeping back up. So I think that's what's happening and why you're seeing yields rise again.
Yeah, I'm not even sure where I stand on that long-term rate thing. I don't know what's going on out there, but there's more to this than meets the eye. But looking back at some of the things I've been reading in the last few hours, the housing is not moving very well because the rates are too high.
I was just going to talk a bit about housing. Mortgage rates are back above 6.5%. Yeah, so
that was a little disturbing.
Yeah, mortgage applications and refis fell off a cliff over the last couple of weeks.
And a lot of people in the mortgage industry are being affected. We know of some of them. And this is not a good sign because that's really a linchpin of the economy in this country. And it just can't last by doing that. So the Fed's got a real problem, I think.
A little,
I feel sorry for them once in a while. And sometimes it's because of their own doing. You know, the old, they're always too little, too late. And that's basically true. Right now, I thought that they made a mistake with half point, and then I forgave them because it looked like that was actually turning into a good idea, and now I'm back to thinking maybe they made a mistake.
Oh, I don't think they made a mistake. I don't mind that they did that. I think it would be a mistake to cut another half point
That would be out.
I think also maybe just take a pause at the next meeting and see what happens with that half point cut. Because you've also got this big election coming up, and I think there's people that are delaying large decisions because of that. They just want to see where it goes. What's the new policy going to be in terms of anything? I mean, what's tax policy going to look like in a year?
Their meeting happens after the election, but it doesn't mean the election's going to be over by the time they meet. When you look at Maricopa County, for instance, like the classic who's running the show place, they said it would be 11 to 13 days before they could give you a number.
I don't understand.
I told Sarah, when she told me that, I said, well, how can they stop counting before they know what they need? That's how that place has been run forever. They're not about to stop it
so
now.
So ridiculous.
Yeah. It's certain places, and it's always those certain places. And that is probably number one. Now, if it turns into a landslide one way or the other, we don't care about Maricopa County.
No, I mean, I highly doubt we're going to see a landslide.
That's unlikely.
Yeah. I mean, maybe Electoral College could be a solid victory, but I don't know about a landslide.
When you got a handful of very important states that all the polls say are within a point.
Right.
And the margin of error is 2.5 to 3, you can't. You'd be dumb to do any predicting, we'll put it that way.
I totally agree. And especially with the noise we've seen in the polls versus reality in the last three elections, I mean, who can – there's just no way.
Yeah. And the whole process of polling has become so difficult, intricate, and people don't pick up the phone anymore. We all know that.
No, I would
People don't have landlines anymore. We all know that. And a lot of people are reluctant to say who they're supporting because it might not be politically correct among their friends. We know that.
Yeah.
If I feel sorry for anybody right now, an honest pollster, I think, has one of the hardest jobs around.
For sure.
And you know, people do count on these things. If you want to play the easy way, the Las Vegas odds are moving back toward Trump right now. But that's just a bunch of people placing bets, and a lot of them are so big it sways the poll that way. So
yeah.
There isn't much that I can rely on to say what's going to happen.
Nope.
The only thing that we've been talking about lately in the office is make two sets of plans if you're going to do anything, and do one or the other depending. We'll be right back after a short break. This is the Van Wee Financial Hour. Welcome back to the Van Wee Financial Hour. I'm Steve Van Wee.
And I'm Adam Van Wee.
And I remind everybody that lines are open, 904-222-8255. And the trivia question remains, how many stocks have outperformed the NVIDIA since Joe Biden was originally elected back in 2000? And we know that 22 is too high, and we know that zero is too low. So what the heck? You got a nice little bracket. All right, anything you want to wrap up on the market itself?
No, just that the housing market is really tough to figure out right now. It's interesting because if you look at the existing home market, sales are at the lowest level since 2010.
Yep.
But there's no inventory still, or very low inventory anyway. I think people are just hanging on to those 2 and 3% mortgages. I don't think people want to relocate. They don't want to move. That and couple that with the uncertainty about the election, people just are staying put right now. When you look at new homes, they're actually selling decently. Yeah. And they are sitting on the market less time than they did pre-COVID. Mm-hmm. So there's some kind of, trend towards buying in new communities, because maybe because there is no existing inventory. I'm not sure, but
I think you already nailed it. I think that the 2-3% mortgages are an anchor on the system.
Absolutely.
We need to get interest rates coming down. Good morning, Todd.
Good morning. How are you guys?
Oh
got the same thing again. Hang on a second. We got to fix something here. So I'm going to push it. I don't know what's about to happen. If for any reason we lose your call back, please.
All right.
Oh, there you are.
I got it now? Okay.
Great. Oh, okay.
There's something.
Roger, I'm gonna have to have a talk with you, Roger.
No kidding. I have been pushing the same button in the same chair on the same telephone for over 9 years now, and today it doesn't work like it used to. Isn't that the greatest part of technology?
It is. And about your 9 years, I want to congratulate you on that. Also,
thank you.
If I may, this may come off a little rude, but I mean it as a compliment. You used to be on a previous show.
Yes, I did.
And I always enjoyed listening to you and what you had to say on that show. So I'm really glad you have your own.
Thank you.
And I prefer listening to you. Also, I have no idea what the real number is, but I'm going to cut the previous gentleman's estimate in half and go with 11.
Well, that's good rational thinking. It's too high, but it's good rational thinking.
Okay. The other thing I wanted to talk about, you guys were speaking of the election, and I saw an article today that talked about how the stock market is reacting in the belief that Trump is going to win. Do you have anything that, in your opinion, that would say basically the same thing or differ?
Yeah.
And if I may, can you give me 2 seconds? I have to get back to work, but I can listen to y'all on the radio.
Sure.
As you go over that.
No problem. We have a lot of things that we read, and of course we can't guarantee anything, and there's nothing with a probability that's overly high. And you know, we'll discuss what we think and why we think it when Todd comes back here in a minute. But don't take our word for anything other than it's the aggregation of all the data that we can find and all the opinions we can find. And that's really about all anybody can do at this point. Nobody's ever seen anything like this as far as the tightness of the race at the 11th hour. But one of the things...
He dropped off. He had to go to work, he said. So.
Yeah, okay. Oh, I thought maybe call back.
No,
a different
no.
Phone. Okay, well, the one thing that I look at that I think is statistically significant is where Trump stood relative to the opponent in 16 and 20 on this very date. And being tied is a heck of a big step up from where he was in 16 and 20. So that's my
indicator. He was asking more about the stock market.
Yeah,
and there the one thing I can point to with that is that there it has been a correlation between the betting odds being in Trump's favor and the market going up. So the betting odds in the first half of the year were in Trump's favor and the market went up. When Kamala was introduced, appointed, whatever you want to call it, and she started to tie and then even take the lead, the market went flat. And then when Trump started regaining momentum and overtaking her, the market started going back up. So, I mean, that it's a study that a research company that we follow did. And it's not a 100% correlation, but there is some correlation there.
Very strong correlation. Yeah, we'll get back into this in a moment, but first, good morning, Leroy.
Good morning.
Ah, that one worked fine.
All right, good.
You must have pushed the right button.
Yeah, I did. I pushed it gently this
time.
You'd
think after almost 10 years.
Yeah, you would. I didn't get any younger during that time.
Yes. I'm going to take a quick slam at your trivia.
Sure.
Let you go on with your show here. Let's go with 8.
That is a very fine guess that is a little too high.
Hello, I make a lot of fine guesses, but not fine enough.
Well, you know, it's a law of averages with you. If you undershoot a few, you overshoot a few. One of these days, you're going to hone right in on it, though.
Yeah, a blind hog finds an acorn every once in a while.
You got that right. We appreciate it.
Okay, I'll let you guys go back to work.
All right, thanks.
Thanks, Leroy. It's getting easier out there.
Yeah. I see those articles. I saw one on MarketWatch a few weeks ago or maybe even this week, and it did say that. Some of those are just political fodder. Some of them are actual market strategists who are in a certain camp and want that to be true.
Yep.
And I don't put a whole lot of faith in that. I think the market you could make an argument for the market to, I mean, Democrats actually, if you look at year after year, Democrats have a slightly higher track record on the S&P 500 than Republicans do. So so you can make an argument either way for the market going up being a sign of one candidate or another. The truth is that it's not really the president doesn't control the stock market. They have an influence on it with their tax policy and things like that. But the American economy is going to probably do well under either party. And companies are certainly going to try and make profits under either party.
Absolutely. The oldest saying in the book in business, you give me the rules and then back off and I'll figure out what to do about it.
Yeah, it's true. I just went to a presentation on Tuesday about this. And the fact is there's just, if you try and play the political game in the stock market, you will only end up hurting yourself.
Yep, exactly right. A lesson that you have to learn along the way. I learned it real early back in 93, and it became kind of an obsession to figure out why, and it really wasn't even difficult. Sitting right there, Wall Street is run by rich Democrats. I disagreed with them, but I didn't have one thing to say about the market itself. And once you figure that out, it may not make your life easy all the time. It certainly doesn't make us happy all the time, but it sure works better.
Yeah.
Very important.
There's a lot of Wall Street isn't endorsing one candidate or the other, but they kind of let slide who they're voting for, and it's not Trump.
No, exactly right. And the one thing I do have concern about, but my concern is such a low percentage away that it barely needs anything more than a quick mention. That's if we lose everything and the Democrats take total control, then I'd have to do a little soul searching, but I wouldn't be bailing out of the market, I'll tell you that.
Yeah, but the tax policy in that scenario would scare me.
That's
for sure.
The, The one thing you can absolutely count on is that the tax policy will be much different depending on the outcome of this election.
Yeah.
And one way would be preferable to us than the other way. And I don't think anybody has any trouble wondering why about that. All right. Have we beaten that puppy to death?
Yeah, I think that's. I think we
all right.
Got that.
Want to talk about stupidity for a few minutes? The Boeing union had a tentative agreement reached by their union negotiating representatives and the company, and it looked pretty solid. 35% raise over 4 years, and a bigger signing bonus, and a better contribution to the 401k, and all. It's something that intuitively, I'm quite sure I would have just said, "Great, let's get back to work. We're only getting $250 a week from the strike fund, and these people make money, serious money." And $250 a week, you got to work a long time to get back the difference between that and what they would earn under the new contract. Plus, their employer is taking a financial hit on it, which is not going to be good. Well, they took the vote, and 2 out of 3 said no.
Unreal.
It is beyond my comprehension how they can do this. But further beyond my comprehension is that one of the things they want to hold out for is a return to the pension system from the 401k system. I'm seldom speechless.
Yeah.
Very, very seldom speechless.
I don't even know what to say to that. It's like memories are very short and you don't remember what happened to all those people who had pensions that went bankrupt.
You know, and every union member who walks through the door and gets a job automatically gets a pair of handcuffs put on him.
Yeah.
You can never leave Boeing.
You can't.
No matter what, because you got the pension and you got to earn it out by staying there a long time.
Even if you get another higher job offer somewhere else, you can't take it.
Somebody's got to teach these people some common sense. Oh, well, enough of that. We'll be right back after a short break. This is the Vanway Financial Hour. Welcome back to the Vanway Financial Hour. I'm Steve Vanway.
And I'm Adam Vanway.
And Adam has a public service announcement about something that you have all heard about that is coming up, and we want to give it a little air time until it happens.
Yeah, we're putting on a great event today. It's out at the Yards in Ponte Vedra in what was formerly known as Oak Bridge. It's a pickleball tournament for a purpose. And that purpose is to raise money for childhood cancer. A very good friend of ours lost their son to cancer, leukemia, a very specific type of leukemia a few years ago. And we've been raising money ever since through a foundation. And we do a golf tournament. And historically, we've done a run. But this year, instead of a run, we're doing a pickleball tournament. And that's happening this afternoon at 2:30 at the Yards in Ponte Vedra. We still have a few open slots in the tournament. If you're a pickleball player, come on out and join us. It's $150 to join. That all goes to charity, and we hope to see you out there. Even if you don't play, come on out and grab a beer and socialize
and pay money.
Yeah, and buy a raffle ticket.
Yeah, there you go. It's a very good cause. We've been supporting it for several years now, and you can't ever let these things go away, because if the research doesn't get done, that's it. All right, I got to remind everybody, lines are open, 904-222-8255. The trivia question is still out there. How many companies in the S&P 500 have outperformed NVIDIA since Joe Biden was elected in 2020? 8 is too high. So 0 is too low and 8 is too high. You got a pretty good chance of getting this one. Another quick word about unions. This is the first presidential administration since Gerald Ford where the number of union applications and votes is actually going up. And I find it a little odd. Of course, the reputation of this administration is that they're pro-union. But if you look at what's been going on, they're not helping you folks, which is why you're seeing so many people like the steel workers and the Teamsters saying, not anymore. No mas, no mas. We're gonna try something different. Yeah, and hopefully keep our jobs in this country and add to them. So see how it goes. All right, funeral dirge time. No more. as of this weekend. No more blue light specials.
Oh, the last Kmart closed. Yeah, I saw that.
Bridgehampton, New York, the last official Kmart. Do you know how Kmart got started?
I don't.
I didn't either. Sarah didn't get it either, and I certainly wouldn't have. In 1899, it started, and a lot of people know this name. They didn't know that was it. S.S. Kresge.
Means nothing to me.
Anybody in my age group, they'll tell you they know S.S. Kresge.
Okay. From
Kresge with a K. Became Kmart through all the mergers and mismanagement and so on and so forth. The only thing that's left now, there's a small Kmart outlet in Miami and a few locations in Guam and the U.S. Virgin Islands. That's it.
That's funny.
Other than that,
no more superstores.
Attention
though.
Shoppers, yeah. No longer. Now, that is the end of an era. That's the truth.
I have some good news on the tax front. There's a few changes coming this coming year. Nothing major, but all positive. Yep. The brackets are getting wider, which is great.
2.79 average.
That means you can make more money and pay less taxes. In addition, the standard deduction is going up. So a married couple who files jointly will now be eligible for a $30,000 standard deduction.
Yeah, that's and they finally fantastic. Put out some numbers that you can remember.
Yeah.
Single $15,000, yep. Married $30,000.
Yeah. Jeez. Head of household $22,500, so not bad there either.
No.
So just good news all around. Just means that those raises that you may or cost of living adjustments you might get this coming year might not get eaten up by taxes
right.
as much.
I am accumulating numbers as they come in. I think I've already mentioned that the Social Security increase will be 2.5%, which is a little lower than the tax bracket. What they're not announcing yet is probably the most important, the Medicare rates. And they say it'll be before the end of the year. Well, gee, thanks, right? For those of us who like to report the news, that isn't giving us a whole bunch of help. Anyway, you'll know as soon as we know. Speaking of Social Security, this is another great one. Improper payments made to Social Security. First off, I should mention, some of you loyal listeners who never miss a word probably remember that Social Security was about $18 billion in the hole for the year. Well, part of that might have to do with, since 2015, Social Security has made some improper payments, and Congress authorized a system to be implemented to get that back a few years ago. And guess what? The system has not been implemented. So now there have been $72 billion in improper payments made to Social Security. And it makes me not very happy to listen to people talk about raising our taxes for Social Security. I got a better idea. Why don't you stop making improper payments and see what happens? I got another one for you, too. It takes me about 20 minutes to get here and about 20 minutes to get home. We're here for an hour, so it's about 100 minutes. And in that 100 minutes, the Social Security system goes deeper in debt by $100 million.
Wow.
$1 million a minute. And that's, of course, including all the improper payments. So we got some really serious problems that we have to fix. And it seems like all the naysayers are getting closer and closer to right, that sustainability is slipping away because of the size of our debt. Because we just kind of have to keep plugging away at it, I guess. But it's very discouraging in some respects. All right, had an interesting discussion in the office this week about something known as QBI, Qualified Business Income. And some of you will know what that is and some of you don't. That if you decide that you're going to be taxed as a sub-S corporation, for instance, whether you're a single or small business owner, whatever it is, you get taxed as a sub-S. Well, if you take the business profits and get taxed to your personal return, which is exactly what the subchapter S business means, then, of course, it looks like your personal income is much higher. So when you apply it to the tax tables, you're going to pay an exorbitant amount of money. You'll pay rates that only are for the wealthiest of people. So right before the TCJA of 2017 got done, the Ron Johnson, senator from Wisconsin, approached President Trump at the time and explained to him why this is going to ruin small business. And Trump listened and agreed. And they invented, more or less, this QBI term and how to account for it. So what happens is, if you are a small business person being taxed as a sub S, you get a tax deduction of 21%, I believe it is, of all your qualified business income. And that's not dependent on you itemizing your expenses on your tax return. All that does is bring down the sub S owner to the same level he would pay as a C corp owner. People are trying to get rid of that, and they'll give you all kinds of reasons and excuses why they want to get rid of it. You know, it discriminates against this and that, and on. And that has nothing to do with it. These are the same whiners out there who want to stop the gig economy. Remember all that we've been talking about it on and off? They don't want anybody working as 1099s anymore. They're all supposed to be employees, so they all got to get all the Social Security, and they have to get vacations, and yeah, drone on and on and on. And it's the usual group of whiners. If they do this, then we're going to have some very serious discussions with small business people. I don't think there's any chance they'll get it through, but I always like to tell people what to listen for, because you'll get misled on very important issues unless you listen to the show, where we'll straighten you out on all of that stuff. How about that?
All right.
Yeah, we're getting kind of to the end. I'm gonna go ahead and take care of the trivia question. There's kind of an interesting point to be made for this, too. There have been six companies that outperformed NVIDIA. But the real point about this is, what do they do? One of them is in healthcare, and two of them are in technology, but three of them are in energy. And energy has actually been the number one performing sector under Biden. So it looks to me like that sector sort of said, well, this is what the change is going to be, meaning prices are going to go up, meaning we get a chance to take in a lot more revenue and maybe make a lot more money, and that's exactly what came to pass. So they have been the real winners, the energy companies. Now, if that stands to reason, and if the election looks like it's going to reverse itself this time, you might want to cut down your exposure to energy a little bit.
Not that it won't be great for the consumer,
right,
but it might not be the best for energy companies.
Now, let's talk about the exception for the last few seconds of the show. During that same time, natural gas was down 70% because they knew that they weren't going to be allowed to produce it. Well, guess what's going to happen in reverse?
For sure.
That natural gas, if the Trump administration gets in, natural gas and propane are going to go haywire. Just a little something to think about if you're doing some portfolio tweaking here toward the end of the year. So that's one thing we can look forward to: pay less at the pump and make some money on natural gas. And I like it. So in other words, take care of things that are based on the quantity of energy, not the style, except for natural gas. Little hint for today. We'll be here next week. Hope you all are too. We'll see you at the same time.